One of the organizations that is addressing some of the most pressing issues that are affecting both the women and the vulnerable communities in South Africa is an organization called Kindness Like Confetti, which is a lovely name. And this organization combats period poverty, does knitting with love, organizes care packages for victims of gender-based violence, participates and runs soup kitchens, provides underwear so that women can have respect when they go for screening and other things, and helps assist with animals. That's quite a long to-do list. And with me on the line to discuss this further is Claire Duval, who is the chairlady of Kindness Like Confetti. Claire, thanks so much for chatting with us. That certainly is a long list, as I say, a long to-do list of what you do. First and foremost, could you share with us what inspired you to become involved with Kindness Like Confetti and eventually take on the role of chairperson?
Sure. I've been working with a lot of organizations while I was expatting up in Africa, and it was just the right fit when I came back to South Africa and settled down here. It was just a good fit. What Kindness Like Confetti did just sat well with me, and it was through the previous founder. She was doing fantastic work, and when she left overseas, I said, I can't let your charity just dissolve into nothing. I'd love to continue the work.
And the name, any idea where the name Kindness Like Confetti came from? I mean, I think of confetti, I think of a wedding, and I think of confetti being thrown on the bride and groom. Am I even in the right direction?
Yes, you are spot on. I think it's like a sprinkling that kindness wherever we go. It's confetti, lovely. It's pretty, it's girly. Yeah.
How long has Kindness Like Confetti been around for, and how has it evolved? Because you really are covering a wide spectrum of issues.
Sure. Okay, we started, Alison started it off in about 2016, 2017, and she was working out of her garage and collecting pads, collecting biscuits for an old age home, Valentine's Day. It was just started off really, really small, and when Alison left, I realized I can't cook.
Join the club. Join the club.
I can't knit.
Okay, I think you and I should stop listing all our wonderful attributes.
So all those wonderful things that she was heading up, I thought, well, I'm going to have to phone a few friends, and got some volunteers and lots of volunteers that were, you know, very passionate about all these kind of things. And with that, it just exploded.
Claire, I appreciate what you say, that Alison had started it in her garage and you wanted to continue the legacy. But I have spoken with other organizations where what the work or the volunteer work that you're doing does overlap. Does it make sense to have a few organizations, for example, working on poverty, combating period poverty? Or would it be more impactful if all the organizations working on that issue, for example, had to come together and just form one organization alone that dealt with that?
No, not really. I don't think so. I think there's just such a little amount of donations and funding for these things that we're just so thin on the ground. You just got to do what you can do at the time. A lot of our organizations do collaborate because we realize it's easier to do things together than it is on our own. But I think there's more reach with different charities all over.
Did COVID affect you? I imagine it did, like it did other organizations.
Yeah, it was very scary. Yes, it did. It did. We were the busiest we've ever been. That's when the food parcels and the soup kitchens, you know, really grew there, because, you know, people were out of work. People couldn't afford to put food on the table. I mean, even your traders on the side of the road that were selling tomatoes and knickknacks, those kind of guys, they just couldn't do that anymore. And there was just absolutely no income for a lot of families. So we got very busy at that time.
Claire, you run a number of projects, for example, the Joseph Jersey Project and Project Uplift. Can you elaborate on some of your flagship projects and what exactly they do, what specific needs they address?
Okay, so our flagship project is the Pad Princess, and this is where we address period poverty, and we are distributing pads, but we also distribute reusable pads. So these pads we put into a bucket with cleaning detergents and things like that. So we set these goals up with the three usable pads and all being well, and if they're being cared for correctly and properly, these pads can last up to 5 years. So it takes a girl all the way through to matric.
Is that still a big issue in South Africa? There are a number of organizations. So are the organizations not making enough impact, or is it just such a big issue?
It's a monstrous issue. It's huge. So, it's just a lot of the families, you know, they have to choose between putting food on the table or buying a packet of pads, and food usually wins out. Mm. And the girls are, you know, they're too embarrassed to come to school, or they just don't have the products to manage their period. So they miss out a week every month for school, a lot of the girls.
And what about providing underwear? What's that about?
Okay, so this tied in with the pad princess. We were handing out pads, the regular pads, and we realized a lot of the girls didn't have panties for the pads.
Same reason, like they don't have money.
Yeah, they don't have money, and they might only have one pair of panties. So what we're doing now is we're giving them out to ladies at soup kitchens and their families. So it's just giving a bit of dignity where we can. And the bras and the panties are a hit. We do thousands every month.
Now, your organization runs on volunteers. Do you have mm-hmm. enough volunteers? Are you looking for volunteers?
And always.
And what do your volunteers actually do?
Gosh, we're looking for volunteers to help run our media, our Facebook, our Instagram. We're looking for ambassadors to promote our work. We're looking for drop-off points around Johannesburg, you know, because people say, right, we've got bras or pads for you. We'd like to drop them off somewhere close to where I live. So we're looking for all those kind of things. And we're also looking for just volunteers to help on packing days.
Looking ahead
and sorting out days.
Looking ahead, what are your aspirations for kindness like confetti, and what do you anticipate will remain the biggest needs for women and vulnerable communities in the country?
For us, we have to concentrate on the dignity bags, which is the bags that we give out to the victim support units around the country. That's a big one. The rape and the violence are still way out of control, and we hope that these bags just give a bit of comfort to the ladies and the kids and the men. It's everybody's affected there. And our main goals is the pad princess and the dignity bags, those kind of things. We have to continue with those.
And I'm just looking at your beautiful website, which is in pink and black. It's kindness.org.za. Thank you, Claire. And while I listen to you and I hear about the inspiring work that your organization does, it reminds me that uplifting communities and fostering kindness is really something we should all do. It's truly commendable. That is Claire Duvel, the chair lady of Kindness Like Confetti.